The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. How are you? Welcome. It's me. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, as you can probably tell by... Maybe you don't know. Maybe you have no idea. Maybe this is the Planting Flowers with Becky program. It could be. I could plant flowers. I've done it before. They don't last through the season. They die in like 3 weeks, but I plant them nonetheless, so I guess that qualifies me. But that's not what I do. I don't do school committee meetings, not anymore. I don't do committees at all anymore. I'm done with meetings. I'm done with committees. They're important for various reasons at various times, but man, I don't do them anymore. I used to do them. I used to be in the local government all over in Brockton and stuff, and I did a lot of things and I volunteered my ass off. But you know what? No more. That's it. You guys take care of it. You don't do it well anyway. I don't do it well. Nobody does it well. So whatever. I'll just insult everybody in sight is what I'll do. How are you? Good to be with you. Thanks for being here. I do this show on a daily basis. Not here. I come in here once a week here and there. You know, I feel like it. Otherwise, every weekday, do a new show on the podcast version. Have done over 3,000 programs to listen to. They're all available right now. I don't think you have time to listen to 3,000 programs, but that's how many episodes we've done. And I've been in radio for 30 years. Oh, my God. What? You crazy? No, 30 years of doing morning shows on broadcast radio. Now I'm just doing the internet syndicated radio thing, which is a lot easier. And again, once a week, I have to put pants on and do this. It keeps me honest, and everything's fine that way. I'm wearing a hat today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for noticing. I'm wearing a hat for two reasons. One is that I'm expressing that I don't care that much anymore about anything or the way that I look. And the second thing is that I really don't think you should be looking at my eyes right now, because I got no expressions here. I got nothing to express. How are you? Good to be with you. This is a monologue thing where I do all the talking and you don't. And for you, I think that can be good, right? But for me, it puts the onus on me to talk about something fairly interesting besides the fact of what I've done with my career during my life and that I plant flowers, but they die after 3 weeks and my name is not Becky. Okay, that being said, and I did say that, didn't I? I said it. Thank you very much. Something happened a couple of days ago that I've talked about before. I don't know if I talked about it here on this thing, but it's one of my pet peeves. I also have a dog. But my other pet peeve is this. By the way, I've gotten over a cold. I had a cold the past 2 weeks. Didn't do the show last week because I didn't want to infect anybody, because I care. And now I'm feeling good. Thank you very much for the cards and letters that nobody sent me, because I didn't tell anybody I had a cold. When I'm walking around going, hey, excuse me, I don't know you, but I've got a cold. I don't do that. It's no point. I'm not that self-involved. Anyway, I'm getting over that. It was a festival of phlegm is what it was. A lot of phlegm, and at the same time not knowing exactly how to spell the word, right? I've got something that I can't spell properly. Phlegm has no F in it. Really? Seriously? The English language? You got to screw us up like that? Yeah, it's what we do. It's what we do. So here's one of my pet peeves. I went to a local supermarket. Sucre. I said supermarket by mistake. I went to a local supermarket. I won't say which one, but in the name of the supermarket is the name of a roach. Anyway, so I'm in there. Very nice people. Very nice store. A little hefty in the prices, but a very, very nice store. Very convenient, very lovely, very, very nice. Anyway, so I'm in there. And some of the cashiers are, oh, how can I put it? Young. They're young. I think that they're like just out of high school or something. I had a first job too. I think we all had first jobs. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had jobs. The first job had to be the first job. So for many of these kids, it's their first job. And they do an excellent job, by the way. It's a nice place to work and they do wonderfully. However, I don't know if you've noticed because of the hat, I am not from a recent generation. I don't go that far back. I don't go back to the Stone Age or anything like that. I wasn't around when Plymouth Rock was a large size boulder. I wasn't there for that. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't go close to the manger. Moses was just someone who lived down the street. So I don't go that far back in history. But more so than this particular generation, and I don't know the name of the generation, Generation X. I think I'm Generation P, because that's what I do in the middle of the night. That should be the name of my generation, but I don't think it is, but it should be. I'm from the P generation. That's the generation that has to pee continually. Thanks for being here. Anyway, so nice people. Young men, young women manning the cash registers or whatever they're called, the checkout aisle. So I have my checkout items and they scan them. They scan. Quite a simple job, really. I just scan. They just scan. It's a scan thing. Used to, when I was growing up, they had to go into the register and hit certain buttons and stuff like that. And there was no scanning involved. You have no idea how much easier it is now. Scanning is a wonderful invention. We should have stopped there with technology, but unfortunately we went too far. Anyway, so she scans the items, and she gives me the amount, and I take out my credit card, and I tap it. I just tap it. I love it. I don't have to swipe. I don't have to insert. I can just tap now. Beautiful. Love it. Technology, all that stuff at the register technology, I love. And the young lady, probably 19 years old, something like that, maybe 18, something like that, she puts them in the little sack, and she gives it to me, and she says, have a nice day. And I thought, oh, okay, thank you for telling me what to do. I shall have one. I shall have one based on the fact that you have now commanded that I must have a nice day. Thank you for commanding me accordingly. So what I said to her was something that I learned that my parents taught me from a very young age. Very, very simple etiquette. Not a lot of words involved here. I said to her, thank you. Harmless. Thank you. She looks at me and she's supposed to say, I mean, I'll do the script. She's supposed to say to me, you're welcome. Thank you. You say, you're welcome. No, not when you have a generation gap. I said, thank you. And she said, no problem. I didn't correct her because there's no point. But I gotta tell you, I don't get it. I just don't get it. How is it that I say thank you in a gracious way and your response is, no problem. Get the hell out of here. No problem. Was I causing a problem? Was it a possible problem that I came up to the register with some items that I wanted to pay for and you had to scan them with your arm? Is that a possible problem? Well, I will tell you, she says, there was no problem with any of this. Did I intimate that there was some type of an imposition upon somebody here during this transaction? As a matter of fact, if you listen carefully, young lady, I actually said very courteously and very happily, thank you. And your response was not in kind with anything pleasant. It was no problem. This was not a problem for me. No problems exist in this entire area right now. You have not caused a problem for me. I just want you to know, even though there is no problem and there was no problem, I want you to know, customer, that there was no problem. It's important for you to know this was not a problem for anybody here. I didn't say that it was or intimate that it could have been. I'm telling you there was no problem involved. You might have come up here to the register thinking this was going to be a problem. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Van Dam, there was no problem here. She should have followed that up by saying, how dare you? How dare you even suggest that there was a problem, Mr. Van Dam? Oh, God, I can't stand that response. Lady, woman, young lady, just say you're welcome and get on with it. Next, please. Next scanning people. Uh-oh. Here comes a person with a lot of groceries. This is going to be a problem. What's the alternative? Thank you. What does she say? You know, this was a problem for me. I could have been home. I could have been watching TV or playing with my phone or something. It's caused a great problem for me, but, you know, whatever. God, don't say no problem. Stop it. There's another phrase that is used constantly that I do not enjoy either. That phrase is, and I will take you through the motion of the transaction again. Scans everything, tap my card, pay for it, puts it in the little sack, little bag, whatever the hell that thing is. And I say to her as she hands me the bag, again, as I said when I was brought up by my parents, I said, thank you. And she looked at me and she said, no worries. No worries. Are you worried about something? Did I cause you to worry? Oh my God, here comes a customer. I'm worried. I'm worried, Betty. Don't be worried. No worries here. I can't do this. What kind of worries did I cause you? Are you intimating that I caused you some worries? Something to worry about? Was I staring at some part of the body I was not supposed to look at? Then don't wear your name tag there. No worries. There's no worries involved here. Thank you. No worries. What do you mean no worries? I wasn't worried. Does thank you mean that I'm worried? Oh, no, no. There's no worries. What do you mean, oh, no, no? Who are you talking to? Thank you. You seem worried by saying thank you. I'm being nice. I'm not worried. Are you worried? No, there's no worries. Well, then why are you bringing it up? Why are you being so negative? Why are you worried about something that there are no worries to worry about? Why would you say that? Why so negative? It's like saying, thank you for the groceries. Thank you. And you say, no apocalypse. There's no apocalypse here. There's no. Thank you. No chest congestion. No chest congestion. Well, I have phlegm. All right, fine. I had to cough. I was getting a little too involved. I did have a cold. Kind of. I'm still struggling a little bit with it. They seem to linger quite a bit. Had a cold. And I don't know the difference between having a cold and having allergies. The symptoms are exactly the same. You do the same about it, nothing. And so I never know if I had a cold or if I had allergies. I haven't had a cold in about 4 years. This is 2000 what? I don't even know what year this is. I haven't had a cold since 2019, maybe 2018. I really haven't. This is very odd for me. This is to have this, but I constantly have allergies. And I figured out recently what I'm allergic to. It's not pollen. It's not ragweed. It's not house dust. There's no foods involved in my allergies. It's not grass. What am I allergic to? Why would I still have these symptoms of allergies? Well, and I told my primary care provider, they used to be called doctors. Remember that? Remember the days when they were called doctors? No. They still have it in the title, but they're not doctors. They're primary care providers. They're internal specialists. Come on. They're physicians. They're not doctors. They're physicians. Don't be disrespectful with these people. So I have a female doctor, and I said to her, what do you think I have? And she says, well, Ron, I've listened to your shows, and I think your problem is, I think you're allergic to people. I said, well, doctor or family practitioner, you're probably right. I probably am allergic to people, but I'll take it a step further. I think I'm allergic to human beings as a whole. I mean, I just when I'm around them, I don't feel so good. They're all bothersome. Not every one of them, but the majority. Not you. Not my family, not my friends, quote unquote. No, they're okay. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. It's everybody else. It's the other human beings. And there are a lot of them. Did you ever go to the mall? There's people all over the place. There's people all over the damn place. They're walking around aimlessly, some of them happy, some of them not, some of them weird, some of them perfectly fine looking. But there's a lot of them. Where'd they come from? It's like houseflies. Why all of a sudden are there so many people? Have you tried to drive into the big city, Boston, New York, whatever the case may be, Chicago? You can't get there. You can't drive anymore. The roads are clogged. You can't just drive in. You have to sit in traffic. Where'd all these cars come from? They weren't there a couple of years ago. Where'd they come from? How are people able to afford these things? I'm allergic to humans. And you know what? I understand why. There's something on the horizon which has already really arrived. I'll warn you about it. We've got about 10 minutes left to the show. I'll warn you right now. It's called SPA, Stupid People Apocalypse. You've heard of the zombie apocalypse where the zombies take over, which is okay because you can always outrun them. They'll eat you, but you can run faster than they can eat. So, you know. It's not hard, you know, they're missing limbs and legs and everything. I mean, how fast do I have to run away from them? You know, just maybe jog away. So that doesn't bother me so much. But the stupid people apocalypse, they still are able to use their limbs. And have you noticed that there's more stupid people now than there ever have been before? They're stupid people. It's not that they're uneducated necessarily. It's that they act stupidly. They can't figure anything out for themselves in their heads. They idolize people and they do whatever the people tell them to do. Whatever the person that they idolize tells them to do, they do it and they believe it. They have no ability to think for themselves, just to take in what they're told. It's the stupid people apocalypse, and there's more of them now than ever. They're following the leader. It's a pathetic, scary Simon Says. It's the stupid people apocalypse, and they're gaining in numbers. That's what we should be concerned about. Stupid people, they have brains. They function. I see them walking around and talking. They're totally functionable. But their brains, it stops over here. Maybe their hat's on too tight. Mine's loose. What happened to these people that used to reason things out, have common sense, have morals? Thought about the good of society, the good of mankind. Where'd they go? What happened to them? They've been taken over by the stupid people. They infiltrate them through some hypnotic spell. They take perfectly reasonable human beings and they turn them into the stupid people apocalypse. And they've got to be stopped. But you can't stop them because there's so many of them. Anyway, that's just a warning. That's all I'm saying. Just a warning. Every once in a while, I'll go to Costco. There's a Costco near where I live. It's a big store. Costco is a, you have to have a membership to get in, and you have to be frisked and patted down and checked thoroughly before you can get out. It's easier to get in than it is to get out. I spent money on all this stuff. There's $400, $500 worth of merchandise in my cart, which I paid for, yet I'm not allowed to leave unless you see my receipt and check me out. Who does this? What other store does this? Walmart started doing that every once in a while. Then they started realizing, this is stupid. This is just stupid. It's Walmart. Why are we checking the receipts? This is stupid. Costco, they make you feel like you're constantly trying to rob them or something. I don't understand that. I don't get it. You're supposed to feel like you're part of the club, yet they pat you down to make sure you don't have anything in your pockets that you didn't pay for. What are you talking about? So I go to Costco, and in the very close distance, there's a store called IKEA. There are still people walking through the IKEA store that were lost about 3 to 4 months ago because you can't get out. Even the exit signs in the IKEA store don't lead you to the exit. It just leads you to another room with another exit sign. It's the strangest thing ever. It's like you have to gather clues. You have to gather clues. I don't know where you got clues from. You have to gather clues in each department of IKEA to get out. It's like an escape room. It's an escape building. And what's your prize if you do happen to get out of the IKEA building, or at least toward the actual exit? Your prize is a Swedish meatball. Ooh. 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 I can't believe I found the exit. Look, a Swedish meatball place. I laugh every time. I don't go to IKEA a lot because I can't get out. But when I do, which is not frequently or ever, I laugh at the meatballs at the end. It picks up my day. Can you believe there's a store you can't get out, and when you do, you're presented with Swedish meatballs? No, Ron, they have other things besides Swedish meatballs. I know, but who does that? Who does that? It's a very strange store. And if you look at the store from the exterior, it looks like a gigantic Amazon warehouse. It's huge. It looks like an entire town is in there. It's like a biodome or something. A bio building. It's very scary. The concept is very scary. You want to buy something, but you'll never get out. You'll never leave. They should make that, a television show around Halloween. Stranger Things. There's nothing stranger than the IKEA store. And not only are you stuck in the store, but whatever you buy, you got to assemble it yourself. I'm not doing it. You want to buy anything? You want a light bulb? We'll give you the filament, the little screw base. We'll give you the bulb, and you have to go home and put the bulb together. We don't assemble anything at IKEA. I'm surprised I can get a meatball at the end of the thing. It's like, make it yourself. Assemble the meatball yourself. You got to assemble all the furniture yourself if you want that. You want a meatball? Assemble the meatball yourself. I don't know how. That's the conundrum, isn't it? It's a very strange world. Very strange world. And we live in it. Because it's a stupid people apocalypse. It's where we live. It's where we thrive. It's what we do. I don't have time to get into anything else. I have other things to talk about, but it's going to have to wait until the next time that we spend some time together. Could be a long time because I'm starting to lose interest. I don't know. I don't know. we're getting into the new year. I don't know what year it is, but it's a new one. And it's a bit depressing in a sense because I'm not looking forward to this upcoming year. It's going to be a year of hell. Don't kid yourself. You know it's true. Better pack a bag because it's going to be a rough ride, baby. It's going to be a rough, rough ride. No matter what happens, the ending ain't going to be good. It's going to be a rough ride. 2024 will go down in history as being the roughest ride we ever had. But it's okay because I'm allergic to human beings, so I don't go near them again except for the chosen few. I feel like some type of religious nomad where I am with the chosen few wearing sandals trying to make my way through the desert with no water on a horse with no name. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again rather soon. I don't know when. I don't even know when this show is on anymore. I have no idea. Maybe you do, but I don't. What can I say in closing other than the show is basically over at this time? I'll leave you with a parting word. I lived in Rochester, New York, for 2 years, and I don't know why. It was a lovely place. Kodak owned the entire town. Everybody in the town worked for Kodak or was waiting for somebody to die who worked for Kodak so that they could get into Kodak. It had an incredible amount of culture. A gigantic lake that looked like an ocean, Lake Ontario, was huge. Plenty of wonderful summer things to do, winter things to do. Shops, incredible restaurants. It was a lovely place to live for 2 years. One thing stood in the way of me staying in Rochester and leaving, and that was the snow. 160 inches of snow every single year. Oh my God. Ice and snow and ice. Almost all year round. It was excellently horrible. You know that phrase, when hell freezes over? That's where hell froze over. It wasn't hell, but it froze. And if there was a hell in Rochester, in the area, it would have frozen over. And I survived that location for 2 years. Again, greatest place. I loved it. The people were great. Culture, food, beautiful stuff. But as soon as it got cold, which was 10 months out of the year, it was nuts, man. Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace.